So we're going to read a little scripture. We're going to do something out of the ordinary and read the scriptures now, because I want these songs to be on our minds as we come to the Word, because the Lord has given us some very great encouraging truth in Romans chapter 8. And we're going to begin reading in Romans 8 at this familiar verse 28. Romans 8, 28. Let us consider God's word. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. So closes this wonderful chapter. We're not going to close this chapter today. We trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. We have sung the Scottish metrical version of Isaiah 49. But I was actually thinking of the words of Isaac Watts' version that we just sang. Especially those words that there was the possibility that mothers could prove to be monsters. And there are some wicked mothers in this day and time that have no natural affection for their children. But thank God for the many normal, loving mothers who care for their children and protect them in a right and a godly way. You know, a little baby may feel in danger of falling and grasp tightly to his mother. But the mother is not about to let her baby fall. Her hands and her arms safely hold and keep the baby from falling. The baby may grasp, but it's the mother who holds the baby. And I'm so thankful that what the Apostle Paul is showing us to encourage us as believers in Romans chapter 8 had already been given to the people of God in Isaiah's prophecy, that he had already endeavored to convince them that trusting in the Lord, they had nothing to fear when they were trusting in the Lord. Now, our main text for this morning is verse 35. And verse 35 of Romans chapter 8 asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, the every child of God should know from the Scriptures that no soul born of God can be separated from His love. As every responsible mother will hold their babies securely and endeavor to keep them from falling, we have such an infinite loving God and Savior that He securely holds us in His hands, and we cannot be plucked from Him by anything. Do you remember the words of Jesus in John chapter 10, where Jesus is speaking of His sheep? He said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any." And I have to say that our translation of the Scriptures is most faithful at that point, because it has the word "man" in italics. And they're telling us that that's not in the original. And they're exactly right. There's nothing that can pluck us out of His hand. There's no man. There's no devil. There's no sin that can pluck us out of His hand if we are truly in His hand. And Jesus goes on the next verse. He said, "My Father, which is greater than all." No man. He says, He's got you in His hand. And no, nothing can pluck you out of My Father's hand. Okay. Now, in verse 32 assures us that God's love for us is so constant and so unchanging that He was willing to deliver up to death His own darling, holy child, Jesus, for us. Since He gave His well-beloved Son for us to die for His people, He will not let any of His sheep perish. Now, we've got to note our outline for this morning. We're going back to verse 1. I had great difficulty in preparing this message. I wanted to deal with the verses verse by verse here, rather than going through a long line of, going through lots of verses together. I know a lot of preachers would preach from verse 35 to the end of the chapter, and there's no way I could do that. So we're going back to verse 1 for our first point. Verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus," especially that. Now here I'm calling this first point canceled condemnation. And now come down to verse 35, and there's our second point, collapsed separation. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? A true believer cannot be separated from the love of Christ. That's Christ's love for us. And then thirdly, in verse 37, we have assured preservation. Nay, in all these things, what things? Especially the things that are mentioned in verse 35. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now I trust that the Lord will bless us as we meditate upon these three thoughts. First of all, canceled condemnation in verse 1. There is therefore now, nor will there ever be, any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, what is the Holy Spirit's purpose as He breathed through Paul, Romans chapter 8? I believe His purpose was, and I believe His purpose still is, that we as God's believing people have full assurance of faith in Christ Jesus. What would He do? He would, by the very power of the Spirit, removed from us our doubts and fears when we are in Christ Jesus. Now, after the case for saving grace has been set forth so boldly in this chapter, the apostle begins this series of six questions. Some commentators say there are five questions. Well, there may basically be five questions, but I see six questions here in our English version. You see, the first question is in verse 31. Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? What God has set forth, this glorious truth of our salvation. Now, what shall we say to this? There's no refuting what God has said. God has revealed this truth. And you go on to that second question in verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? The answer is obvious. It's rhetorical. No one can be against us if God is for us. Since God is for His people, no enemy can prevail against God's people. There is the answer to that second question. The third question is in verse 32. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Because God has delivered up his own son to suffering and the most horrible death for us, therefore he will certainly give us every needed grace for what? To persevere and to ultimately enter into the gates of glory for His children. And verse 33 has the fourth question. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Of course, Satan and the wicked will try to bring their accusations and condemnation, but our consciences themselves will at times accuse us, but it is Almighty God who justifies us. And what does that mean? He declares us not only not guilty, but He declares us as righteous in His sight as Christ is righteous. We are as righteous as the righteousness of God. Not the righteousness of the first Adam if he had been faithful, but a righteousness much better than that. The fifth question is in verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Now, although Satan and the world will be actively putting us down and condemning us, it's Christ who died. He arose. He sat down. He intercedes for us. So no condemnation can stand against those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, there's our first point. Having briefly reviewed canceled condemnation, we now come to our main text of collapsed separation. Can we be separated from God as true believers? All of these things that would try to separate us collapse. We give the resounding no. Who shall separate us from the love of God? No one, nothing, no man, no demon can do it. Why? Because it is Christ's love for us. And it is not our love for Him. Now let's mark that down. It is the love of Christ. It's not love for Christ. It is the love of Christ. You look at that last verse and you see it so plain. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It doesn't say it's in my heart. It says it's in Him. So it's His love for us that will not let us be separated from Him. This love is not found in anything in us. It's not found in anything done by us. It is God's covenant love. It is His love from all eternity in Christ for us. Now, could we imagine that anyone or anything has power to dissolve Christ's love for those that He redeemed? The Holy Spirit sets before us in this verse 35 all the possibilities that men could think of that would separate the child of God from Christ's love. There are seven of them in verse 35. Seven things that sometimes even God's people would suppose, would this separate me from Him? Well, here they are, seven of them. Shall tribulation, okay, you see verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, what are tribulations? Troubles, trials, afflictions. You ever had any of those? I know some people have had lots of them, even in recent times. These things are not going to separate us from the love of Christ. These things are designed by Christ in our lives for the purpose of growing Christian virtues in our lives. Nothing else will do it. Jesus promised, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Romans chapter 5 verse 3 says, we glory in tribulation. Why? You think Paul enjoyed being beaten and stoned? He didn't enjoy that. He said, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Does anybody here need more of that? Patience. Is it easy to become angry? We need more patience. Our growth in grace, nothing else will bring this but trials, tribulations, troubles, and afflictions. We have to have that. That is God's purpose for us. And so we come to the second one now. Tribulations are given by the Lord for a good purpose, to draw us closer to Him and to make us more like Him. But we come to the second one here in verse 35, or distress. Now, distress is being so hard pressed by tribulations that we're perplexed and we don't know which way to turn for help. I just don't know what to do. I am brought into this narrow place, and I can barely turn, and I don't know which way to turn. Well, Psalm 121, verse 2 tells us where our help is, where we're to turn. Our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Distress brings us to the end of our own natural resources. Have you been there? Such distress that you've come to the end of your ability to deal with it. Distress brings us to the end of our natural resources. Distress is designed to move us to call on the Lord, to trust in the Lord to carry us through, rather than trusting any longer in our own strength or in our own ability to work through this on our own. We are prone to work through things on our own until the Lord brings enough pressure upon us that we will start asking Him to help us through. Okay, so there are the first two things that cannot separate us from the love of Christ. The third one here in verse 35, or persecution. Now here's a big one. The enemies of Christ, the enemies of God's people, getting hot on our trail. We are pursued. The word for persecution basically means to be pursued. Okay, we may have to flee. But here's the question that comes to our minds. What if we fail in times of persecution? Won't we be separated from the love of Christ then? No. Peter failed when persecution came to him. He got scared, he cursed, and he denied Christ. But Christ's love was not separated from him. Rather, Christ's love was shown in that. That love continued toward Peter. Christ prayed for Peter, and Peter repented. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then bravely and boldly stood for Christ in times after that. And eventually, he was a martyr. But persecution is real. A dear believer worked in a large office with many Roman Catholic secretaries in a northern city. And one of those ladies, a mother, passed away. And so the ladies went around the office taking up money to pay for a special mass to be said for the dead woman to try to help get her out of purgatory. They thought there was such a place, and they thought there was such an activity of them getting enough merit done that they might get her out. Well, they came around to the believer's desk, and they asked her to contribute. And here's what she said. She said, I'll pray that the Lord will minister comfort to the family, but I can't give money for that which I don't believe. Well, one day while the Christian lady was having her lunch break, some of these women went over and messed up her desk and all her day's work. And when it came time to turn her work in, the supervisor was very upset with her and actually said, "You're causing trouble in this office because you're a religious fanatic." Well, who was the religious fanatic that messed up all her work? Well, she eventually lost her job, got fired over that. But we know that the Lord has told us all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to suffer persecution one way or the other, even if it's just somebody laughing at you. It's somebody that doesn't want to have anything to do with you and rejects you because you're a child of God. Well, persecution cannot separate us from the love of God. Now, we're going to go on a little farther here, still with the matter of persecution. Look at number 4 and 5. We'll take those together in verse 35. That is, or famine or nakedness. You remember what I said at the beginning of persecution? We may have to flee. Under persecution, many of God's people in the past and in the present have had to flee. And even as we enjoy the security of where we are today, there are those in the world and other places that are having to flee while we are here. Now, what does that mean? When you have to flee from home, you lose your job, you lose your livelihood. So we come to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to plug this. We have a little noisy organ going on. I was thinking, was somebody making coffee in there? Sound like the pot was about empty. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 37 and 38, you remember what God said about His persecuted people? This happened to God's saints in the Old Testament. It happened to some of the saints in New Testament times. It happened to the saints in the early church. It happened in the time of the Middle Ages and the Reformation and right up to the present time. Hebrews 11, 37 and 38 says, "They wandered about in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." The word is destitute. And what does destitute mean? You talk about famine. Here is famine, having precious little or nothing to eat because of persecution, wandering about in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth, destitute. And here is the fifth one. Nakedness goes right along with that. Nakedness simply means not having enough clothing. Because of persecution and fleeing, not having enough clothing to protect against the rain and against the cold weather. That's basically what it means. Do you see there in Hebrews 11, verse 37, it says they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, trying to stay well and trying to keep warm. No wonder they were wearing sheepskins and goatskins. So persecution leads to an experience of famine and of nakedness. And then we come to the final two. We'll look at number 6, or peril. Such dangers as cause fear and trepidation, praying to be kept, praying to be protected, praying to be delivered from the dangers, or peril. Peril. This is an awful thing. And then the last one, here it is. We reach the finale. Or sword. Here is the climax of the verse. Persecution reaching all the way to capital punishment. The sword of the magistrate. Romans 13 and verse 4. But especially in the sense of the sword being used tyrannically against God's holy people. It was Paul's predestined death to die this way under wicked Caesar Nero. Well, we come to the close of collapsed separation. meaning this, that none of these things can separate us from the love of Christ. Did it separate Peter from the love of Christ? No. The love of Christ was manifest. The love of Christ brought real godly sorrow and repentance in his life and a great change. Troubles cannot prove that Christ has forgotten us. We have not been forsaken. The fact that we face great afflictions and tribulations does not for a moment say that Christ has stopped loving us or loves us less. Listen to Jesus. Revelation 3 and verse 19, what does he say? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Such providence does not show a lack of love from Christ. Rather, he is providing great reward for his suffering people. Do you remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. What did he say in the next verse? He said, rejoice. Luke translates it, leap. Jump up and down for joy. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. For us in the West, it's not easy in our spiritual lethargy to understand what our Egyptian brethren were rejoicing about when so many of their men were killed by the sword, all lined up. And they were rejoicing for them. Why? Because Jesus said, rejoice. Leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Wow. These seven troubles may separate a minister from his people. These troubles may separate a man from his wife. They may separate a father from his children. They may even separate a man's soul from his body. But they cannot separate a true Christian from Christ, nor from Christ's love. Because of canceled condemnation, these things that men would think would separate us from the love of Christ collapse. Collapse separation. The things cannot separate the elect from Christ or from his love. So lastly, in verse 37, we see assured preservation. What does it say in verse 37? Nay, in all these things, all seven of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, no condemnation because we're in Christ. No separation because of his love for us. And now assured preservation through him that loved us and showed that love so mightily. We are more than conquerors through him. Now, what have the enemies of God and the enemies of God's people ever been able to accomplish by persecution? Think about that for a moment. What have they ever been able to accomplish by persecution? It's true that through the centuries of time, they have killed so many of God's people. But what have they accomplished? They have only and they have always spread the kingdom of grace more widely. You think of all of the believers that were put to death in China. And now, I know you listen to the debates, and there's a lot of talk about China and all that, but the fact is that China may soon be the most Christian nation in the world. And what has God done? The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. It's such a vast number of believers, so many millions in China. And they don't play. They are Christians for real. Now, we're coming up to Thanksgiving Day. What did the European persecutions do in the 1500s and 1600s? Those persecutions against God's people, how effective were they? It brought the gospel here and resulted in the conversion of many tribes of Indians, the Cherokees, the Delawares, the Iroquois. What a blessing! The gospel spread further by the persecution. What is God telling us in Romans chapter 8? The believer in Christ is assured of secure passage all the way to the glorious consummation and glorification of eternity. So the most important matter then is to make sure yourself that you are in Christ. Give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. Then, in spite of all the sin in the world that can even pervert and cancel a mother's love in our day and time, we read of mothers killing their children. Even in spite of all that, every believer is securely kept from falling into a hopeless and dark eternity by the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray together. O God, we thank Thee that Thou hast in Thy word directed us away from ourselves, away from our strength, away from our thoughts, to consider the truth, the reality of the whole situation of life given to us by Thy Holy Spirit. Help us to receive it, O God, and to live in faith rather than in fear. And help us, O God, to be bold for Thee, because Thou dost richly reward Thy people, even for suffering. Help us, O God, to look to Thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.